Lecture 8, Paradiso, continued.
Dante's next ascent after the circle of the sun is to the circle of Mars. Mars, of course, is the red planet, and when Dante gets there, what he sees is a very interesting design. Remains the red planet, but there's a pattern in the shape of a Greek cross, that is to say, a cross that's entirely equal, formed on the surface of the planet. And it turns out that the cross almost is a kind of mosaic work. It almost looks like one of those early jeweled crosses that you see in some early Christian, in books of art on early Christianity. And it turns out that the individual jewels or the individual pieces of the mosaic turn out to be souls of the saved. And not surprisingly, they are all souls who have some connection with the works of Mars, if you will. They engaged in, they excelled in valor. It turns out also that this is the place that Dante meets his own ancestor. Again, a very interesting complementarity with the previous set of cantos. In the Circle of the Sun, as we pointed out, he's meeting the biggies from Christian history, the great theologians and philosophers and saints. And now it turns out that he meets somebody who has a unique and personal relevance to his own life.
His own great-great-grandfather is named Cacciaguida. And Dante has a longer conversation, a more sustained conversation with Cacciaguida than with any of the other souls he visits in the entire Commedia. Now, obviously, he has more time with Virgil or Beatrice, but the longest sustained conversation with a soul in a particular place is with his great-great-grandfather, Cacciaguida. A couple beginning things to say about this person and about the purpose of this sort of long stop and long conversation in Dante's ascent. First of all, Dante is going to learn about his own ancestry. That is to say, just imagine the situation, unless you happen to be a big family tree person, of being able to talk to your great-great-grandfather, being able to say, now, who was your grandfather? And taking the family lineage back a little bit longer. So he's going to learn about his ancestry. He's going to learn, obviously, the most about this one particular ancestor, Cacciaguida. And, as it turns out, he's going to learn a lot about Florence because Cacciaguida was indeed, like Dante, a Florentine, and therefore we can compare and contrast, it's like an essay question we're going to ask you, we can compare and contrast Florence around 1150 when Cacciaguida was alive and around 1300 when Dante sets his poem. We're going to have a new way of perceiving Florentine history by looking at Florence's past. And then, after all of this is done, we're also going to be able to, and only after we know about Dante's family and Dante's city's history, can we look seriously and carefully and accurately with regard to Dante's future.
Notice that what's interesting about this, first of all, is that Cacciaguida is very happy to talk about his own past at great length, partly because he sees, in terms of the compare and contrast essay, this is how you would answer it, he sees that the Florence of Dante's time has degenerated from the good old days. Now, there's a certain element of nostalgia here. There's a certain sense in which Cacciaguida is, like most people of a previous generation, I don't like MTV very much. It turns out that Cacciaguida has those tendencies. Nonetheless, he talks about a simpler time. And again, like other aspects that we've seen of the Commedia in an encounter with the pilgrim, as Bill said, we talk about the past, and then he brings it all the way up to the present, where, of course, he talks about some of the issues that we've been dealing with, and then, as Bill points out, he's ready to go to the future. Again, as a kind of preview of coming attractions, Cacciaguida gives him the most sustained description of his own exile, the implications of his exile, and together they work out the response to his exile.
One question you might ask is, why is Cacciaguida here? Why is he among, if you will, the warriors of God? Well, according to the story that he himself tells, he is, or was, in fact, a crusader. That is to say, not only was he a Florentine citizen, but he tells us that during the Second Crusade, which took place around 1150, a crusade, as it turns out, called largely by a Cistercian monk named Bernard of Clairvaux. Save that name for later, by the way. At any rate, as the Second Crusade was called, and the Holy Roman Emperor, we know that Dante thinks a lot about the value of Holy Roman Emperors, as the Holy Roman Emperor passes through Florence on his way to the Holy Land,